Well, we have been in a series the last couple of weeks. We're actually wrapping it up today, just a short series on this positively different, being positively different within our communities, within the people that we interact with, and how we do life. Before we do that, though, last weekend was a big weekend here. We had a great time. We had the End It Ogden 5K. We had our big night of worship and outdoor services. We had over 24 people go public with their faith by getting baptized. That is amazing. That's worth celebrating. But the Friday night was awesome. We had our 5K. Who was part of the 5K last weekend? Oh, it was so much fun. We got a quick brief recap about what that was like. Check this out.
3, 2, 1.
It was a good time. It was a good time. One other quick announcement before we jump into the message. We have a new group starting up called Got Questions, and it's talking about journeying life. If you're new to the faith, if you have questions about the faith and all that kind of stuff and what that means, it's a group that's going to be meeting weekly. It actually starts next weekend, Sunday, October 3rd. And if that's something that you might be interested in, we encourage you to text this number, text CONNECT, to that number, and that's a way to meet people. If you're brand new, if you want to get familiar with a few other folks, it's a great place to just walk through some of these major life questions kind of regarding faith and Christianity and what it all means and how it applies to you. So I encourage you to check it out. It's going to be good. All right, jumping in. I was talking to my team this week, and they're like, what's your message about? I said, well, the title of the message is Don't Be That Guy. And I said, I warned him, I'm like, it's going to be a little spicy this week, so I need you all to buckle up a little bit and hang on, because I want to talk about the vaccine. I'm kidding. It got real tense in here really fast. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. That guy, I felt the heat coming on me. Whoa. Don't be that guy. Anyone else tired? And I don't mean just like, man, I need a nap. Because I want a nap. I get it. My life is insanity right now. The last 2 years, working a full-time pastoral job, I have 4 kids. I've been in full-time school working on my master's degree. I should be done. I'm in my last semester. Thank you, Jesus. My wife is a fitness trainer. She's a kids dance instructor. My 3 girls do competition dance. My son's in band and track. Our life is crazy. And we have a dog, like, just to throw, like, one piece on top, like, and we have this dog that, so my wife and I have this sort of unspoken arrangement as far as how we handle the dog. Well, that's more spoken now than it was before, but, so, my wife can't handle when the dog does stuff in the house. Okay, whether that's a little bit of dog vomit or poop or whatever, like the slightest hint of even knowing that it's happening, she's like, I can't, I'm out. She'll wake me up in the morning if she's up first. She's like, you got to take care of this. I can't, like, she's gagging and dry heaving. She's like, nope, I'm out. The dog has got to go. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, it's just a little, it's fine. Like, what? We have four kids. She's like, this is a dog. It's different. But when it comes to the kids, and like stuff happens because life happens, and we get sick and this, you know, all this stuff. And I'm changing my kids' diapers when they were younger. I mean, I'd be in there and she could hear me throughout the whole house. And I'd be like, babe, I can't do it. Babe, I can't. I have no idea where I'm going with this. That isn't even part of my message. Life is busy. There we go. Back on track. Sorry, guys. Squirrel and... But that's not the tired that I'm talking about. And I know you guys are feeling like this tiredness, like in my soul, right? You know, I have never experienced a time of more volatile, controversial, hate-filled, mob mentality, political nightmare. Just, I'm tired, like in like my core, like the center of like everything that I have. And I was thinking about it as I was preparing this message today, and I'm like, what is it? Like, why are we feeling this? Why are we just so drained, like, as a society? And I think it's this weariness, right? This weariness from the wretchedness sin has caused. It's been the worst I've ever experienced it. And I'm in my early 40s and I've been around for a little bit of time, but I mean, it's the worst I've ever seen it in my lifetime. And I'm getting tired of it. And I keep asking myself, God, like, what are you doing with all this stuff? Like, when's it gonna end? Like, how's it gonna turn out? Like, are we there yet? Has anybody else asked that? God, like, are we there yet? Like, can you just come back and take me home and let's get the show on the road here, because I'm tired of dealing with all of it. If any of you have kids and you've gone on any type of long road trip, you know, like by like hour 11 or 12, you're just, I mean, it's just, don't talk to me, don't speak to me, don't look at me. And if one of you says anything, like the, and that's like culturally, that's where we're at. Like the tensions are high and we're on edge. And we just, whenever we travel, my kids, they have not so much when are we going to be there, like are we there yet, but it's more, they're more concerned about Utah. Like, are we still in Utah? We've been in the car for 20 minutes. Like, yeah, we're still in Utah. And then even a couple hours later, are we still in Utah? Yep, we're still in Utah. Are we still in Utah? Yeah, we're still in Utah. And then, like, usually by the time we get out of Utah, they're all passed out asleep. So I'm like, hey, we're out of... Never mind. Are we there yet, God? Tired. Satan is a liar and a murderer. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus said. And you look at the corruption, you look at the suicide rates. We live out in the Roy area, and just a couple weeks ago, an eighth grade boy took his life. Eighth grade. What? How are we there? God, are we there yet? I want to look at a story that took place, because I want to talk about not being that guy, because it is being that guy or that woman that is driving this muck that we're in. How can we be different? How can we shine a light so bright in our communities so that we're not that person? If you got your Bibles, open up to the book of Luke, chapter 13. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. It will be on the screens. Check this out. Now he was teaching, Jesus, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and he said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" As he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. Don't be that guy. Something incredible happens. And his first gut reaction was to place judgment upon it for breaking a rule that's not even written anywhere. There's no rule in the Bible that says you can't heal on the Sabbath. But he thought it was considered work. And back then, Sabbath was a very, very, very highly respected day, and you did not break the Sabbath. But he's more concerned about following the rules than a woman's life being given back to her. I want to focus on these two verses, verses 12 and 13. It says, when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. Contextually, it's important to understand back then the ancient Jewish culture, what was happening. So they're in the synagogue, and at the opening of the scripture said that Jesus was teaching, and where the teacher on the Sabbath would speak, women weren't allowed in that area. It was just the way the cultural standards worked. But yet it says that Jesus saw her. So from where he is, inside this sort of inner chamber where the teaching would take place, he sees this woman who is crippled. Her back's contorted and deformed, and she's hunched over, and she can't straighten herself. 18 years she's been living that way. I want to focus on a couple key words. He saw her. He called her. He freed her, and he laid his hands on her. This is huge to understand. From this inner chamber where women weren't allowed, Jesus sees her, and he calls her in. I want to look at a few things Jesus does here. So first, he sees her. He notices her. He recognizes her. He acknowledges where she's at. He sees the turmoil, the pain, the anguish that she's in. And maybe you can identify with this woman. Maybe your life is a contorted, hot mess, and maybe has been for a while. Can I assure you with some good news that he sees you? He sees you right where you're at. And then he calls her, and this is a big deal because he's there and he calls her to him. He doesn't go out to her. He calls her, and she comes in now to this place where women weren't allowed. This is a beautiful picture of Jesus and how good he is. He was not a rule breaker, but he obeyed the law. He followed the law, but boy, did he push the limits and showed them how we're supposed to live. He calls her to him. He says, "Woman, you are freed from this disability. You are freed from this illness. You are freed from this sickness. You are freed from the junk that has been inhibiting and affecting and impacting your life for the last 18 years. You're freed. He heals her. What's interesting about this is when Jesus laid his hands on her, this was a ritualistic act, and it was saved. It was saved for when blessing was passed down from generation to generation, or when a new priest was coming in to take over. This sort of passing on gesture. And yet, he chooses to do that with this woman. Women who were considered second class, people with a disability were typically avoided in general because any type of sickness, any type of disease, any type of disability was associated with sin. They must be a sinful person, therefore God has caused this to them, which isn't true. But here you have this woman for 18 years who's been avoided, rejected, denied, steered cleared from, judged, and criticized. And in one moment, Jesus radically pushes all the boundaries. He sees her. He doesn't say, "Ew, God must hate you." He says, "Come here. I want to bring you into an area where you technically you're not allowed, where people don't want you to be. I'm going to bring you into this place, and I'm going to restore you in front of all these people because I want to show them the value of human life, the value of relationship, the value of community and connection." Essentially, Jesus says to her, "I see you. And I count you worthy to not only be healed and restored, but also worthy of my blessing." What an incredibly beautiful, powerful picture that just took place. And everyone stood up and started clapping. Wow, Jesus. No! Let's look at verse 14. But the ruler of the synagogue, now pause for a second. The ruler of the synagogue wasn't just some guy they brought off the street and said, "Hey, you're the ruler. You look like you can do it." This is a person who has spent years, probably his entire life, training to be this role. He went to Sunday school every day. His entire life. He hasn't missed a weekend. He went to Wednesday night church. He went to small group. He's been to Bible studies. He's memorized all the really important verses. He can answer any question about God that comes his way because they ask him a lot of stuff. He's a big deal. He's been in the church a long time. He gives a lot of money. And he's the one that says, "What do you think you're doing?" Oh, I would have loved to have been there just to be a fly on the wall and watch this scene transpire and watch Jesus' response. The problem is, he knew a lot about God. But he didn't know God. This is going to sting a little bit, and I'm talking to myself here. There's a lot of us in this room that know a lot about God. I grew up in the church since I was a kid. My dad was a pastor. I've sang all the songs. I've gone to church. I've dressed the dress. There was a time in church, you know, that jeans were like a blasphemy in church. I almost wore a hat today. Like lightning almost struck me. I've been in church around church. I've read through the Bible more times than I could count. I've memorized the verses. I've sang the songs. I've done the conferences and the worship things and all this. I've done it all. I've done this stuff. And I know a lot about God. But there are times in my life where I don't know God. And in one action, one display of Jesus and who he is, very clearly tells this synagogue ruler who knows a lot about God that clearly he doesn't know God. I was thinking about this story and I kept coming back to the same question, like how many miracles have you missed that were right in front of you because you've been too distracted judging someone else's life? And I'm not standing up here on a stage saying, "You hypocrites." I'm not Jesus. I'll let him say those words. Because I'd be out there with you guys and he's talking to me. I'm just as guilty. I can look at somebody without even a second thought, just based on how they appear, I've got a conclusion in my mind of who I think they are and what their life looks like. And we spend a lot of time judging other people. And there's miracles happening right in front of us that we're completely missing. The synagogue ruler just dismisses the fact that an incredible miracle took place, that this woman who's been hindered now for 18 years is restored and made complete, and his only concern is, hey, you did something you weren't supposed to do, or that I think you weren't supposed to do. How many times are we judging other people because we don't like what they've done because it goes against what we think we should do? How many times are we criticizing somebody else's choices, whether they got the vaccine or didn't get the vaccine, or whether this party or this party? For what? What have we accomplished? Other than tearing apart the God-given gift of relationships. All for the sake of being right, proving a point. When was the last time you ever saw somebody change their mind because of a comment on social media? So then my next question was, okay, how many, I've probably missed so many miracles in my life, so many gifts that God is just dropping in front of me because I've been too wrapped up and concerned with placing judgment upon somebody else's life for doing a thing that I thought they should do differently. Doing a thing I thought they should, yeah, okay, that made sense. And my next question was, well, what's the miracle? If I'm missing these miracles, what's the miracle? And this is the most beautiful part, because it's a miracle that every single one of us get to experience. You know, I read these stories and pictures like this, where this woman who's been, you know, dealing with this disability for 18 years, and you get to see her stand up straight, or, you know, people who Jesus is, you know, cleans their eyes and they can see after being blind their whole life, or they've been a cripple, now they're walking, or bringing the dead back to life. And I'm like, man, I just want to see one of those. And God's like, bro, open your eyes and look around. You want to know what the miracle is? Ooh, some of you don't like that. I wrote it out and I'm like, it doesn't feel good. I don't like that. But I know it's true because God's just like pounding my heart with, it is the people in your life. It is the relationships around you, even the ones that you don't have or think you shouldn't have. It's the neighbor that I haven't spoken to because I don't want to get into a conversation with them. When was the last time you had a civil conversation with somebody you disagree with and you ended up walking away still friends? That is the miracle that is right in front of you. The gift of relationship, the gift of people. Back in Genesis, the word says God decided, he declared, let us make man in our image. God exists in the most perfect form of relationship that exists, with himself, with God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, all one entity, but all three separate people. That's called the Trinity. It's complex. I get it. But it is the most ideal, most perfect, nothing flawed with it at all, perfect example of what relationship is. And God says, let's take this perfection of a relationship that we have and now put it into a human being. And before sin entered the world, man existed in perfect relationship. Jesus didn't say, God so loved the world that he gave everybody lots of money. God so loved the world that he's going to give everybody a nice house. God so loved the world that he did this. God so loved the world, he gave his son so that the people could know what God is like so they could be in relationship with him. God in the flesh as a person. The biggest miracle, the biggest gift that you and I can experience is relationship, is with people. What are we doing with it? Are we taking that miracle, that gift, and casting judgment upon it? Are we coming to snap decisions about what we think somebody else's life looks like based on how they appear or how they talk or how... Or are we loving them the way God loves you and me? That's what we've been commanded to do. When Jesus spoke the words, love your neighbor as yourself, It was radical. I don't mean like, yeah, radical, man. No, it was radical. It was different. It was a challenge because people weren't. Not much has changed, unfortunately. And my heart breaks because I can't help but wonder how many people out there are missing out on this miracle that God has given us to be in relationship. And if you've ever experienced a friendship or a marriage or a relationship or anything that is going well, when something great happens, you'll think back and look back on your life, and the times where you've been and felt the most joy and happiness is because of other people in your life. Not because of stuff, not because of your job, not because of successes, not because of any of that stuff, but it's the people in your life. Let's keep reading. Because Jesus calls him out. He says, you hypocrites. Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? Now, if you go back and read this in the King James Version, I think you get a sense of what Jesus was really trying to say. You mean to say that you can take care of your own? Never mind, I'm not gonna say it because we're at church. And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And he said these things. As he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame. And all the people rejoiced at the glorious things that were done by him. Now, scholars have debated whether or not Luke, who wrote this, was talking about an actual satanic possession that this woman had dealt with, that her body was physically contorted from it. Or if he's just speaking in a metaphor, the cause and the damage that sin causes in our lives. Either way, sometimes our lives get twisted and bent out of shape and contorted because of what the enemy does in our lives, especially when it comes to people and relationships. Some of you have been really, really, really hurt by people. Yeah, you may have experienced ups and downs with with your job or with your home or with a car, stuff happens. I get it. But the most pain that we will experience in this life is from people, the way people treat us. And Jesus is calling this man a hypocrite because he's saying, you mean to say that this woman's life, this woman here who's been suffering is not of more value? There are people in your life, whether you disagree with them or not, that are worth more value than you are giving them. And Jesus is saying, that has to change. Yeah, but Pastor Mike, you don't know what they said to me. You don't know what they did to me. They hurt me. I get it. I've had people in my life that have hurt me. But Jesus is calling us to be different than the way the rest of the world would respond. I want you to love these people. The outcast was restored and experienced a great miracle, but the religious elite missed the miracle and was shamed for it. Paul, in the book of Philippians, he wrote this, and it just hit home. He says this, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Whatever you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, the relationship that we've had, if you've taken anything from this experience that we've had together, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you." You hear that? When you're practicing relationships with Jesus Christ as the center, peace comes with it. And that's what Jesus wants for every single one of you. He wants to look at you. He's calling you to him. He wants to lay his hands on you. And he wants to tell you, I see you. And I count you worthy to not only be healed and restored, but also worthy of my blessing. Judging others, and you miss miracles. Don't be that guy that misses the miracles. Don't be that woman who misses out on the greatest gift God has given us. Would you pray with me? God, we're sorry. I come before you, God, and we are sorry for how we have been treating and judging and labeling and abusing your creation. Because every single one of those people that we have felt something negative towards, God, you say you love with everything in you. You sacrificed your love not only for us, but for that person too. And God, we ask now in the name of Jesus that we could be filled with your Holy Spirit, to look with eyes like yours, to see people with value the way you see people, to enjoy the miracle of people and relationships in our lives. God, we pray this in your great name. Thank you for an incredible day of worshiping you, spending time in your word, and getting to know you just a little bit more. We love you. We pray these things in your great name. Amen. Have a great day. Be blessed. We'll see you next time.